Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
When Jesus wanted to describe a kind of joy that surpassed all circumstances, he used the word blessed. And it might surprise you what qualities of life truly bring blessedness. Stay tuned next with Dr. Chappell as we study on Daily in the Word, the life God blesses. Pretty much everybody wants to be happy. We all long for an inner joy and delight, a sacred blessedness that rises up above every bad day and every season of discouragement. And that's the kind of word Jesus used when he described the joy he brings throughout the circumstances of life. He used the word blessed. And today, on Daily in the Word, we're going to study the life God blesses, the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. It's probably going to surprise you what God truly calls blessed. Before we join the program, I want to invite you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. At the website, you'll find a link to a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell. You'll find links to Dr. Chappell's newest resources and books and many other things to help you along in your spiritual growth and your walk with God. And so, dailyintheword.org, it's a resource, a treasure box of resources for your spiritual growth. Right now, let's open the Word of God to Matthew chapter 5. Today, we look at verses 3 and 4, the blessedness of mourning. Here's Paul Chappell.
Every once in a while, when we read through the Bible, we come across a phrase that seems, at first glance, to our human mind, contradictory. We'll see a phrase and we'll think that really it just doesn't make sense to our normal way of thinking. And such a phrase is found in verse number 4 of Matthew chapter 5, where the Bible says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Really, what this verse says in the first portion of the verse is, "Happy are those who grieve." That's what it's saying. The word blessed means happy, and to mourn is to grieve or be sorrowful. And the Bible is saying here, happy are those who grieve. And yet as we study the Beatitudes and as we grow in our Christian faith, we really begin to learn that even in times of mourning in our lives, there can be blessedness in our lives. Even in times of sorrow in our lives, God is still at work. Now it seems that the longer we live, the more vulnerable we become to sorrow and mourning. The older we become and the longer we live on this earth, the more vulnerable we are to the sorrow and difficulty of this life. I once read a story of a little girl who was traveling on a train in England with her mother. And as they traveled along the countryside, the train was involved in a terrible accident. Another train had come and for some reason they hit head on. And in that accident, all of the people, of course, were thrown about and tremendous pain and death took place on that day. And as the rescuers came into the train, they found this little girl and they found her in her mother's arms. And as they took the pulse of her mother, they knew immediately that the mother had passed away. And they took the little girl from her mother, and when they did so, the little girl seemed to laugh and have a playful-like spirit and not really be aware of what had taken place. And then after a moment, they noticed that the young lady had a lollipop that had stuck in her hair and had created somewhat of a mess. And so one of the rescuers took the lollipop from the little girl, and she began to scream and throw a fit and be about as mad as you could be over having lost that lollipop. You know, it really goes to show you that the younger you are, the more you are not really that vulnerable to these types of difficulties in life. And what really mattered to her more than the loss of a mother was the loss of a lollipop. Thus, the higher you go in life, the more vulnerable you are to sorrow. The longer you live in life, the more vulnerable you are to difficulty. Now, some people try to escape sorrow by isolating from other people. And they think, boy, you know, if you get involved with trying to help somebody, you're just going to get hurt. You get involved with charity work, you're just going to get hurt. You get involved at church, you're just going to get hurt. You get involved in a relationship, you're just going to get hurt. And so they try to isolate themselves from people. But in doing that, they also escape the joy of life, because the great joys of life are found in serving others and in interacting with other people. And so we need to realize this morning, as we consider this verse, the Bible is teaching us that whenever we enter the presence of joy, we also become a candidate for sorrow. Whenever you have the joy of bringing children into the world, you also may be a candidate for sorrow when those children are sick and when those children suffer. Whenever you have the joy of entering into marriage, you also may be a candidate for sorrow when your wife or your husband becomes sick or has a time of difficulty in their life. And so as we listen to the kingdom teaching of Jesus Christ, we're going to see this morning that He never denied sorrow as a part of our lives, but He always will transform sorrow into victory in our lives. And that's why He says, "Blessed are they that mourn." God does not say there will be no mourning in our lives. God does not say, isolate yourselves from people so that you'll not have sorrow in this life. God says, even in your times of mourning, there will be blessedness and there will be joy as we abide in Him. Now let's notice first of all this morning the meaning of mourning. The meaning of mourning. There are at least three different types of mourning that we see in the Word of God. First of all, there is a natural mourning. We see this throughout the Scripture. One of the first great illustrations is the illustration of Abraham. When his wife Sarah died, the Bible says that Abraham mourned and Abraham wept. Another illustration is with David, when his son Absalom died. The Bible says that he mourned and he wept. And this was a natural mourning. Many of you have read Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1. "To everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance." And let me say this morning that natural mourning is not a sin. Some people go through a time of loss and difficulty and they feel guilty for mourning. Well, let me say to you this morning, that is a natural component given to you by God. It is not a sin to mourn, and in fact, it is a part of the healing process. And one of the most dangerous things that happens in a person's life is when tragedy strikes and they don't mourn that loss or difficulty, because then throughout life, they have not grieved properly, and various consequences result later in their life. So there is natural mourning, even in the Bible. Secondly, there is a kind of unnatural mourning. As we consider the word mourning, unnatural mourning would be when someone is guilty over the failures of the past. And when someone is guilty over the failures of the past, they are mourning unnaturally. And what they are really trying to do oftentimes is they are trying to atone for themselves. They are trying to make up for some failure in the past. For example, I know people, and you know people as well, who perhaps are blaming themselves for not doing something with someone while they were alive. And because they did not have the opportunity to do kindness towards someone in the past, or because they did wrong towards someone in the past, they are blaming themselves. It's an unnatural mourning process that they are going through. Now, David himself became involved in this type of mourning and self-pity. In fact, at one time in David's life, he was so filled with self-pity that everyone else around him was miserable. And I think of this in 2 Samuel 19:6, when Joab came to David and said, "I perceive that if Absalom had lived and all we had died this day, that it had pleased thee well." Now, David was so involved in self-pity and unnatural mourning, and he was so involved in wishing things would have been different with Absalom, wishing that his relationship would have been better, and he was so involved grieving over Absalom to the point of self-pity that everyone else around him began to think, good night, why are we alive? What good is it for us to be here? Maybe if we would have all died, David would have been happy. And I would say that in families, when a child is taken, many times parents need to be encouraged that if you have other children, don't neglect them. And if you have other family members, don't neglect them. And there is a type of unnatural mourning that will cause an imbalance in our lives. So natural mourning, yes, it is a vital process of healing. Unnatural mourning, where we are heaping guilt upon ourselves, is not going to bring about healing in the long run. Then there is a third kind of mourning that we'll focus on today, and that is spiritual mourning. Notice what the Bible says, if you would now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and let's turn here together, and let's see what the Bible is speaking about concerning spiritual mourning. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and verse number 10, the Bible talks about a godly sorrow or a spiritual mourning. And this is a sorrow that every mature Christian understands and experiences from time to time in their Christian life. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 7:10, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." Now, this is mourning over sin in our life. This is the type of mourning that takes place. This is the type of spiritual awakening that takes place when a person is saved, when he recognizes, I am a sinner. I fall short of God's glory. No one in this room was ever saved until they first realized that they were a sinner. You may not have put on sackcloth and been in ashes, but you did in your heart mourn the fact, or you became aware of the fact that you were a sinner and that you fell short of God's glory. And the Bible says a godly sorrow worketh repentance. I believe even after we're saved, there are times in our lives when we need to have a spiritual mourning, where a godly sorrow comes into our life and where we say, I have been wrong and I have offended my God as I have sinned in my life, and there is a godly sorrow that will bring a turnabout in the way that we live. This is what we mean by a spiritual mourning. Now, I want you to be very clear when the Bible says in verse 10, repentance, this is much deeper than regret. One Sunday school teacher was asking the children in the class, what is repentance? Someone explain to me, what is repentance? And one little boy raised his hand and he said, repentance is when you feel sorry for your sin. And the teacher said, well, that's a pretty good answer. And another little girl raised her hand and she said, no, that's not what it is. Repentance is when you are sorry enough to quit. And that's what it is. Repentance is more than thinking, boy, that's really bad what I'm doing. It's really bad that I'm lying. It's really bad that I'm cheating while I keep doing those things. True repentance is a change of mind about the matter and a changing of direction about the matter. And the Bible says godly sorrow worketh repentance. When we are really mourning something that we've been involved in, when we are really mourning a certain situation, we will change that situation because godly sorrow worketh repentance. Not just regret, but repentance. So a spiritual mourning, when God says, blessed are those that mourn, He's not saying blessed are those that regret. He's saying blessed are those who have a change of heart about the matter and a change of direction because of the matter. And so we must be sure in our lives that we are mourning over the sin of our lives, not merely the consequences of sin. And I think in counseling and in trying to help people restore from various situations, this is one of the key ingredients. A lot of people will mourn when they're caught doing something. But what they're mourning is the fact that they were caught rather than the fact that they had sinned. And there will be no change in our life until we are truly mourning over the sin that has taken place, more so than just being caught in the sin. That's why David could say in Psalm 51 and verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. When I come to God with a broken spirit and a contrite heart, and I say, Lord, I realize that I've been wrong in this matter, and I ask you to forgive me, Lord, and I'm mourning over this, the Bible says he'll not despise me, he'll not reject me, but he will forgive me, and he will restore fellowship with me. And so we see the types of mourning, or the meaning of mourning. There's a natural mourning, there's an unnatural mourning, and there is a spiritual type of mourning. Now, besides the meaning of this word mourning, let's notice, secondly, the manifestation of mourning. When do godly people mourn? And I'm going to say this in a moment. I don't believe Christians in 1997 mourn enough. I don't think we really have empathy or sorrow for things taking place in our life and even in our country the way that we should. And I'm not saying that we need to be a gloom and doom type of people. No, God says he wants us to have joy in this life. But I think there are times in our life where we need to seriously open up our hearts and even mourn certain circumstances in our lives, in our country. When do godly people mourn? Well, first of all, I believe in the Bible, when there is sin in our lives, as we said a moment ago, we should mourn. Now, notice what it says back in Matthew chapter 5, and let's just remember our text, verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. You will never mourn your sin, however, until you understand verse 3. So let's look at verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And there is no accident with Scripture. God first speaks about being poor in spirit, and then he speaks about mourning. Now, stay with me this morning. No one will ever mourn for their sin if they're filled with pride. If they are filled with pride and self, they're not going to humble themselves to mourning. They're going to somehow justify what they're doing. So the Bible says here in the Word of God that when we sin, we should mourn. We should mourn our propensity to wander from Christ. And we should come to him and say, Lord, I am prone to wander. And oftentimes in my life, I'm not where I should be with you. And when I really think about it, it should bring about a mourning or a sorrow or repentance in my heart. Paul the Apostle once said it this way in Romans 7:24. Paul the Apostle said, oh, wretched man that I am. You know, no one had to tell him what he was. He knew what he was. And when we're honest with God, and when we get alone with God in the light of his holiness, in the light of Scripture, that's what we'll say too. I am a wretched man, Lord, and I'm glad that you have saved me by your grace. And so we should simply say this morning. If we grieve God, it should grieve us. And when we in our lives grieve God, that should be a grievous thing to us. Let me tell you something. If you in a marriage can watch a husband who will grieve his wife, and I mean maybe say or do something that really hurts her, and it doesn't even seem to faze him. I mean, he doesn't even seem to have a concept that he just hurt his wife. That marriage is in trouble. Because if he has come to that place of insensitivity, there is a relationship in trouble. But listen, if you and I can grieve God, and we can, and yet not even be aware of it, our relationship with God is not where it should be. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. God's Holy Spirit dwells within us, and every time we sin, every time we turn from his will, we grieve him. And so when we grieve God and we realize it, we should mourn over the fact that we grieved God. In other words, folks, if we can sin and sin and sin and never feel that conviction and never mourn over that, either A, we were never saved, or B, we have become so callous that we truly do need to repent. But a spiritual Christian will mourn when he realizes, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. Lord, please forgive me for what I just did. So a godly Christian will mourn when there is sin. Secondly, when we are chastened, we should mourn. Whenever we are chastened, we should mourn. Now, sometimes God will chasten us. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. Now, I don't think it's wise for you or for me to try to tell someone else that they're being chastened. In fact, sometimes that's a cruel thing to do. To tell someone, well, you know, this happened in your life because of sin in your life. You better be careful about playing the part of the Holy Spirit of God. But it is a true fact that at times in our lives, if we are not mourning, if we are not sensitive, God will, to get our attention, spank us, if you will, not because he hates us, but because he loves us. No parents in this room, just for your thrills, would ever spank your child. But if your child repeatedly runs out in the middle of the street and almost is killed two or three times in a row, you might bring him inside and you might apply a little bit of warmth to the seed of knowledge. Amen? Amen. Just to remind him of what not to do. Not because you hate him, but because you love him. God loves you so much that if you and I are going in a direction that is displeasing to him and we're not mourning and we're not repenting of it, God says, all right, there are times when I will chasten you. And he says, no season of chastening is joyous. He says, it's not going to be good. It's something that will bring mourning into our lives, but it's something that's needed if we're going to get back where we need to be. So godly Christians, when we sin, we should mourn. When we are chastened, we should mourn. Thirdly, when we are hurt, we should mourn. We said that a moment ago. But in times of bereavement, in times of illness, in times of catastrophe, natural disaster, there will be mourning oftentimes that is a natural thing given to us by God. And then fourthly, when we are burdened, we should mourn. When we are burdened, we should mourn. I tell you, I see a lot of times teenagers that are going off to the devil. And I mean literally becoming involved in satanic music and satanic lifestyle. And the parents just sort of throw up their hands and don't seem to really care about it. And I believe one of the things a parent ought to do that's a saved parent is mourn over that and pray over that and have a godly burden for that child to get right with God. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Jeremiah for a moment. Notice here in Jeremiah chapter 9. And I want to show you the heart of a prophet who mourned over the condition of the people to whom he ministered. And you see, when we are burdened, we should mourn. And I believe one of the difficult things about the day in which we live is that many Christians never have a burden anymore, never really seem to care. We see things on the news, we've become dull to it. And we're not really mourning the situation around us. But Jeremiah in chapter 9, he said it this way in verse 1. Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. And they bend their tongues like their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Jeremiah is saying here, oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I could weep day and night for my people. Here is the weeping prophet, as he is called, a prophet who's mourning for the people, a prophet who's burdened for the people. And I really believe this morning. It is time for some pastors and for some people in America to begin mourning the state of this country. While we're going on with our good time yuppie religion in this country, America is going straight to hell. America is dying on the vine morally, and no one seems to care enough to weep. No one seems to care enough to have a burden. No one seems to care enough to have a prayer meeting. And the Bible says, blessed are they that mourn. And Jeremiah was a man who wept over his country. And I do not believe America will turn until men and women are willing to weep and mourn and feel a burden once again about what is going on.
Well, friend, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We're studying the life God blesses. You know, the most blessed life is a life that's entered into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ by faith. Lots of people are religious. Lots of people believe in God. But the Bible says the way to be born into Christ is to come to Him in faith, to trust Him, to acknowledge that you cannot save yourself, and to claim Him as your only Savior, to place 100% of your faith in Him. And friend, wherever you may be in this moment, we would encourage you to bow your head and heart to make that simple but important decision to place your faith in Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Before we close out this edition of Daily in the Word, I want to invite you to contact us if we can help you understand salvation more, or if we can provide you with any of the resources that we've mentioned on the program. You can call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. You can find out more about Pastor Chapel and the ministry of Daily in the Word when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. I do want to encourage you to be sure to pick up a copy of Dr. Chapel's newest book, The Burden Bearer. This book is about 150 pages of the most powerful encouragement that I personally have ever read in my Christian life. It's an allegory that powerfully applies biblical principles, and it will help you understand what a relationship with Jesus Christ does in bringing rest and encouragement to your heart. It's again entitled The Burden Bearer. You can find out more about it when you visit again, dailyintheword.org. And don't forget, Dr. Chapel invites you to join him and lots of Christian friends from all across the country on the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through the 16th of 2014. Once again, August 9th through the 16th, visit dailyintheword.org. Click on the Alaska Cruise link to find out more about this exciting adventure. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.